Now, this is the story. Let me read the story, and then we will quickly see. Luke chapter 15. The story is in Luke chapter 15. When we read from verse 10 to 24, you know the story, every one of us, I want to believe. But if you don't, you've heard that word prodigal before, the prodigal son. So anyway, the story of the prodigal, I'll just read it and then run the commentary quickly. The Bible says a certain man, verse 11, had two sons. A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So the father divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he will gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, please note that, because that's where we are focusing on today. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, go to my father, and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose, came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this, my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to marry." You see, the background to this story was Jesus was talking about repentance and how in heaven there is joy if one soul repents. We defined repentance last week, having a way in which we change our thinking, having a change of mind, not just being sorry for something you shouldn't do or you did, not just showing remorse, but having a change in the way you think. Because what usually makes us do the things we do wrong is because of the way we think. So if we can touch the root, which is the way we think, it helps us to change the way we talk and subsequently the way we act. Some of us have been sorry because you were caught. We've done things and we showed remorse. But then 2 months, 3 months down the road, we're back to square one. I always recall the time, the lockdown, where nothing was moving, business shut, everybody, you can't come out of your houses. People were seeking God, people were crying. Everybody thought the world was over. One way or the other, indirectly or directly, we all lost someone we know or loved ones or something. And then, you know, people cried out, "Oh, you know, if God can deliver this, that, blah, 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 they will never do whatever they're doing again." Excuse me, lockdown, COVID-19, 3 years ago, lockdown began in March, April, May, this time May. In fact, my system, you know, Facebook brought it back, and I saw myself in my house. You know, in the emergency studio we put up in my house, preaching, doing Sunday service. If we all recall, some of us who were here then, I mean in your house, and joining the services online, that was when we told our children to write letters to God. Some, we told them to draw the picture of what God looks like to them in their own imagination. It was profound what these children were coming up with. But the underlining prayers the children were praying is that God should just deliver the world, deliver mankind, save everybody. They want to see their friends again. They want to go back to school. Let things go back to normal. There was confusion. Everybody was sober. Well, 3 years back, are we not back to square one? Why? Our thinking has not changed. Jesus said, you can't put new wine in an old wineskin. So what happened? Post-lockdown, post-COVID, look at your life, look at my life. Are you back to what you were before the lockdown? That's something for us to meditate on. But Jesus was given the picture of what repentance was using the story of this young son. Without boring us, the Bible tells us that he got his inheritance, he went to a far country, and then one day he blew everything, spent everything, lived with harlots, just enjoyed himself, and everything finished. And then the Bible tells us, one day when he found himself in the midst of pigs, eating pig food, he came to himself. That's the picture of repentance we were trying to paint last week. Now, when you look at that statement there in verse 17, he came to himself. One version says, when he came back to his senses. Finally, when he returned to himself, that was when he realized where he was, and he started taking steps to go back to his father and began to rewire his thinking because he remembered who he was. Now, if he came back to himself, I put it to us, I'm not a lawyer, that meant he lost himself. He went away from who he was. He lost his original thoughts, the way he was, his thinking. But then he returned back to his way of thinking. Now, just to summarize, let's look at how he lost himself. How did he lose himself? Listen, we don't usually act out of impulse. Our actions are as a result of several days or weeks or months of thinking in a certain way. You know, we're talking about man, so let me look at the male gender or even both ways. Listen, somebody doesn't just suddenly commit adultery. You don't wake up, a man doesn't wake up one day and say, you know what, I want to go and commit adultery. No, it doesn't happen. It's one thought after another thought after another thought. Well, my wife doesn't even respect me. My wife doesn't give me food. Let's not move near that food again. You know, we talk about cooking. I want to believe we have godly men now, Christ-like men who can cook at least fish like Jesus. All right? Yeah. And there's this person who cooks very well. Let me go and taste her food. One thought. And then you go taste the food, and then maybe the woman serves you food in a way your wife at home doesn't serve you. And you are beginning to think slowly, 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 and then you are going away from yourself. So it's gradual. So how did this son move away from himself? Not in any particular order. I began to see some things the Spirit of God was revealing to me. Number one, the day he first started thinking about his inheritance. Listen, one of the things in the Bible days and in the culture in which this was written, when a father has children, automatically the children know they have an inheritance. It's written black and white. Usually the bulk of it goes to the first son, and then the second, and then if there are other siblings. And then even if they are male, and then there are females in the family, everyone gets an inheritance. It's written. So number one, this guy did not have an identity crisis in the sense that he didn't really know who he was. He knew himself. That's why the Bible said he came to himself. You don't go to yourself if you don't know yourself first. And let me tell you something. If you are a child of God, by a child of God, John chapter 1 verse 12 tells us, if you will receive Jesus, he gives us the right, the privilege to become the children of God. So do you see yourself, do you know yourself as a child of God? Do you see God and know God as your father? If you do, then you will realize you've got inheritance. You have a glorious inheritance in your father. So this guy knew he has inheritance. But the day he began to think about his inheritance, gradually, and what he will do, and what he can do with his inheritance. I know the story of a young man. When the dad was alive, they didn't get along. The dad was very wealthy, very, you know, mega, mega box. And then the father died. And the father left a lot of things. The father had a confidant who knew everything the father owned. And when the father died, you know, thank God for faithful servants. Because the person who knew everything the father had was the father's driver, personal driver, who would drive him to the bank, drive him to his business, drive him to his landed property, knew where the man kept everything. So when the father died, you know what this driver did, who was a servant? He collected all the documents and hid them because he knew hawks will come. You know, I've been there before, real life. Not drama. I knew these young men. I used to pastor them many years ago. Their father died. They called me. We just lost our father. I went to the house to commiserate with them. And then from nowhere, within a space of hours, 1 hour, people started news. You know, bad news spreads quickly. Have you noticed that when somebody dies, everybody knows? But when somebody is alive, nobody cares. And this, their father was wealthy. Within a space of 1 hour, people started coming from their village, this, that, before my eyes. I was asking them, who is that person? They said they don't know. The person said, it's my brother who just died. He told me to come and take this TV before he died. And I couldn't get here, now he's dead. Before our eyes, they were packing the man's property. And the man sadly had a wife who wasn't their mother. The woman too sat down, was mourning with everybody, and when she looked up, looked like, she just signaled to the driver, entered the car, because the man just bought a brand new car. She disappeared with the car. They stripped these boys naked. They had nothing. They didn't even know anything, but their father did something. He showed the first son his accounts and made him a joint signatory, so they couldn't touch that. But even with that, they were telling them, our brother who died promised us money. So since the money is in the bank, boys, you got to give us. I had to ferry these boys with wisdom to a safe place before they killed them. True life story. But let's go back to this boy. And there's a young man I'm talking about. So the father's driver called and said, I know where everything your father owned is. And we cut a long story short. Revealed everything to him. Now, when the father was alive, he wasn't relating with the dad. But then when they told him about the father's inheritance, he remembered he was a son, entitled to the father's inheritance. And of course, his thinking changed. Changed so much that he stopped picking my own calls. Am I sad? No, I'm not sad. I just feel that this is one of the first steps to losing yourself when all your focus is on your inheritance. Oh, the possessions. Jesus said a man's life does not consist in what he possesses. Look, if you're always thinking of possession, you will be possessed. It's one thing to own possessions, it's another thing for possessions to own you. A possessed man is just, it's not just the person that is manifesting. Someone who's always thinking about property, thinking about this, and can kill to acquire things that you will leave behind. He began to lose himself when he began to think of his inheritance. So one day, he had thought long enough and went to the father. I'm entitled to this, give it to me. Did you notice the father didn't argue? Because it was his. And usually the inheritance should be given after the man passes away, but it is written. So the man gave him everything. And look at the thing, look at what he did immediately. He took off. The Bible said he gathered everything. How did he begin to lose himself? When he detached himself from the father. Because the moment he got his inheritance, you should get your inheritance after your father passes away. So if you get it before he passes away, you are indirectly telling him, old boy, you're dead. As far as I'm concerned, he took off. Enjoyed himself. And let me tell you how I know also that this guy was possessed with the possessions. The Bible said he spent everything. Listen, he did not spend everything on anybody. He spent it on himself. He enjoyed life. You see this other story I'm talking about this young man who stopped picking my calls after he became a son. He blew everything the father left behind, and then he remembered me after. He repented. I thought he didn't repent, because when he became a little bit stabilized again, he stopped picking calls. Is that the way some of us are? Because one of the problems this guy had, right? He only thought about himself alone. Number one, he thought about the inheritance. Number two, he only thought about himself. If all you think about is yourself, you are going to be selfish, self-centered. Did you come into this world and you did not need anybody? When you were a baby, some people nursed you, some people carried you, some people fed you. This guy cut off from the father. Listen, the word father there, Abba, or the word pater. You know that man who used to shout, pater, that's in Greek, means the progenitor, the source. So what this guy did was he cut himself off from his source. Now, how does it pertain to us? Our source is God, our Father. Jesus said when we pray, we say, our Father. So if you cut yourself off from the source, you will begin to lose yourself. He thought only about himself. Listen, one of the things that shocked me, that I know, did you notice that this guy did not have friends? Or maybe he had, we don't know, it wasn't mentioned, but it was mentioned his older brother had. Because the older brother came and said, when he came back, I was accusing the father, you've not even given me something for me and my friends. This young man, we didn't hear that he took off with his friends and went to enjoy in Hawaii. No, he got everything, gathered everything to himself. That's how you begin to lose yourself, people. How did he lose himself? Another thing, he went to a far country. Listen, and let me say this to those of us who are raising children, and your children have become adolescents. Please watch this sign. When, of course, we should give our children some level of independence. But if you have not trained them well to relate, to survive, please don't throw them into the deep sea. There are sharks waiting. Because this young man was very naive. He was very clear. He lacked how to relate with human beings. Listen, This guy knew he had inheritance. This guy knew he had a father. This guy knew that, you know, he could enjoy. And he was always thinking about himself. He did not take... Listen, he was more or less a little bit of a spoiled child. How do I know? Listen, what did he have in the house? Father, his sibling, and then they had slaves. So he was used to being served. That's why when he left home, he couldn't survive. He had never worked one day of his life. If he wants chocolates and he's going, hey, daddy, chocolate, he just chuck them out. You have children like that. You are raising up a prodigal. Everything they want, you give. No, I suffered. They must not suffer. It's not suffering. It's you learning how to survive in this world. Let your children learn. Let them earn money. This guy never worked one day for money. That's why when he was thrown to go and work with pigs, he didn't even know which one was pig food and which one was... And the Bible said, no man, if you look at it, no man cared for him. Why? Because when he was in his father's house, he cared about nobody but himself. Are you full of yourself? You begin to lose yourself if all in this life you are thinking about is myself, me, I, this, I must do this, I must become this, I must achieve this, I must, I, and I, me and I, me and homeboy, me, I. He began to lose himself. He didn't know how to relate. He had never worked for money one day in his life. Excuse me, we are giving our young people opportunities, internship this summer again. You ask a young person, let them come and learn how to work. We will pay them, but they must work for the pay. And we are not pampering nobody. You can ask the ones who survived it last year. No work, no pay. Some of them think they can just wake up, oh, we overslept. Overslept, no pay. You come late, 30 minutes, no pay. Please help me celebrate Esther. Esther was an accountant. She accounted for every penny. They didn't, none, some of them, why did Andrew get £20 and I got £15.99? Because you didn't work for it. We are teaching them the value of work. Have a sense of responsibility. But no, I suffered. My children must not suffer. They want this, they want that. I remember one, you know, in the church I used to pastor, this woman was telling me, my daughter is her visiting day. She sends word home and said, when we are coming, we should come with the latest car we just bought. Bring that Benz. If you come with the other car, I will not come out on visiting day to say, you are my parents. Why? Because she wanted your colleagues, okay? To know that, yeah, I come from a rich home. And the woman was telling us, so I said, so what are you going to do? We have to carry the Benz. See, that's how you spoil and raise prodigal children. We think we're being smart. No. This guy only related with servants. He had an older brother. He had his father. And had never worked one day in his life. He couldn't survive even when they gave him every inheritance. Listen, legacy, inheritance. The Bible says a good man will leave inheritance for his children and his children's children. The inheritance is not really the property. It is the sense of responsibility you put inside a child and train up a child from when he's young. When he's old, he will not forget those values. You don't teach yourself emotional intelligence. You send them to the best school, give them the best this, buy them a car when they are still in school. Look, if you can afford it, well, all the best to you. But I'm just saying, you are raising a prodigal indirectly. This is Bible. God couldn't survive. And then I'm saying something about those of us, your children, adolescents, and they begin to tell you, yeah, it's time to go to uni, and they want to go far, where you won't be able to visit them. Far! Yes, far. There is University of Liverpool. There's Liverpool John Moss. I'm saying if you live in Liverpool, there's Edge Hill. There's one, there's Hope. Where there's Hope? There's Chester. There are all those. But then the child now will tell you the course they want to do is the one that is far. No, they don't have the course I want to study. Nothing wrong with that. But excuse me, have you raised that child to know how to survive? Otherwise, you are playing. Listen, I'm not afraid of anybody. This gospel can be offensive. I warned us last week. If we don't start telling ourselves some hard truths, because it happens over and over. I see it many times. And especially, I've been a pastor in this country. I mean, I'm not originally from the UK or Liverpool or whatever. I am proud of my source, my roots. Don't get me wrong. But I've pastored in this country. My wife and I have pastored in this country. And we've seen children sent from afar to come and study in Liverpool. And we see, listen, it got to an embarrassing point where I was known in the psychiatric hospital in this Liverpool because of young children who are losing their minds. They couldn't survive. They couldn't cope. They had money. They had everything. I'm sorry I have to say this because I've had enough. And to rescue those of us who are coming behind, because I look at the faces of, you know, the church now, we are filled with young families. Please, please, we're talking about healthy homes, healthy couples, healthy families. I'll talk a little bit about that. But be mindful. Watch. Don't let somebody go afar if you've not trained them to study from near and survive. Otherwise, you will be battling with things you didn't bargain for. I'm saying this out of love. He went far away. He knew his identity. He was a son. But listen, let me say this thing about being a son. Do you know that as a son, you don't choose your parents? Or when I say son, I'm male, female. It's God that makes the choice for you. And one of the promises that we have to entrench in our children is called honor. Honor your father and your mother, two promises that it may be well with you. You have a mental well-being, physical well-being, emotional well-being, material well-being. Honor, and secondly, that you may live long. Teach these children honor. Let me close. Those are the things this guy was, that he lost himself. So, sir, Apostle Cruz and Dara, please come. Let me use them to demonstrate and we'll close. So this is, you can see the resemblance. Okay? One of the things about father is that the father is from whom the child gets their attributes. Parents, but especially medically and everything proven. That's why when a man misbehaves and say, I'm not the one. Okay, let's go and do paternity test. Let's go and do it. And then you discover that you are the one. You've been lying. You are the one. Okay. Now, sorry, I'm not saying you are the prodigal son. But just acting for acting purpose. Do they look alike? You agree? All right. So all those steps, you've been thinking about his inheritance. He's beginning to lose himself. This is himself, his source. Okay? What else did he think about? He was, I want to go far away. He disconnects himself. Yeah, I have all my inheritance now. Pack everything. He packs it. He's walking away from himself. And then, you know what? I want to go to a far country. He didn't just decide one day that he was going to leave. He had thought about it, meditated, and only acted it after a while. See, some of us are raising children now. Just wait. They are waiting until they turn 16. And then some people are already telling them, you know, when you are 16, don't listen to your mommy again. All right? Just do what you like. Your mom is old school. They don't belong. They don't know how to use TikTok. Sorry, it's not you. I'm just here, okay? You see this woman? Huh? When you grow old, you know what the Bible says? Don't despise your mother, even when she's old. Even when she's old, okay? I know the sacrifice your mom. Sorry, I don't know why I'm here. Please stretch your hands towards Andrew. Father, thank you for what you have shown Andrew. The greatness. This is greatness, Lord. Nothing will take him away from his source. Lord, the sacrifices of his mom will never be in vain. In the name of Jesus. I'm 16. Now, I want to leave home. Which university? There's a course that is similar to the course, but because you, as a parent, don't know, you know, you've not been interested in their education, really. When they are doing parents' evening, you don't go. They tell you what, anything. I'm a teacher, and I'm telling you, this is what happens, especially those of you who look like me. I'm not being funny. Parents' evening, every other person who doesn't look like me will come. Where's your parent? They are working shift. £10 an hour. And they can't make the sacrifice to come for your parents even so that we tell them your progress. No. And then you get letters. Oh, yeah, it's been in isolation. You don't even know what isolation means. It means that your child, you sent that child to school and the child didn't enter classroom. They put it in a secluded place doing nothing. And they come home every day. You don't follow up. You hand your children over to servants to raise up for you. And I'm 16. The course I want to do is simply mechanical engineering. But one far university sugarcoated it and called it wiring technological isometrical engineering metro. What's the course you want to do? Isometrical, technological. You don't know what it is. Okay, and where is it? Is in give me the name. Why Cardiff? Are you getting me? Okay, God bless you. And then it goes far away. And usually when they're far away, they go and join strangers. They join people that don't belong to their DNA. You raise the child up in church. But it's gone far. But thank God. So one day, he looks around and comes. When I was there, my father had servants. Even the servants, I know what they're enjoying. Okay, you know what? I own up. He begins to rewire his thinking. What did he own up? I have sinned against God. Because every sin we commit against mankind is against the maker of mankind. You kill a human being, you slander, you don't forgive, you do all sorts of things, you manipulate, you are sinning against God. That's why some people, when you are caught, you say sorry to man, but not to God. The real repentance is going back to God. He said, I have sinned against God and against my Father. Even a slave, I know what they enjoy. You know what? I still know my identity, but it seems like I've lost this, but let me take on a new identity as a slave. And I will tell my father, listen, make me one of your slaves. The guy rewired his thinking. So he said, what? I will arise and go back. The Bible said when he returned to him, see, he's returning. He's returning. This is himself. When he was here, he was taller. When he got there, he became shorter. But then he downgraded himself to a slave. But listen, you did not choose your father. God chose your father. Listen, if you are a son, you will forever be a son. But if you lose your thoughts, then you will not enjoy the privileges of a son anymore. So he comes to God. Okay, good question. He comes back to his father. You know what? Just, I've become shorter. Just make me a servant. Now, this is the love of God that passes all knowledge. What did the father do? Listen, you are a son. You only lost yourself, your thinking. No. You now call the servants. Please, my son was lost. It's fine. When we return to God, who is our source? Listen, every one of us came from God. Coming to Christ is coming back to your source. It's not about religion. It's not religion. We're not telling you come to church. Come back to your source. Because your source will always see you as a son. You restored him. Because as far as the father is concerned, he's still my son. He lost himself. But now, he's come back. He's not a slave. He's now a child. Excuse me. You know the question is, you remember he was given everything that he owned. So where did the father get something to give him again? Listen, in your father's house, never finishes. It's called abundant grace. It's called grace, love that keeps on giving. Will you own up today? Owning up means I'm wrong. Owning up means I'm not blaming anybody. I took that decision. I chose to do what I did, even though I was advised. You still had a choice not to take the advice, people. Do you know this guy could have also blamed his father? Father, you knew you didn't bring me up well. Why did you release the inheritance? No, because God is benevolent. He returns. And the father restores him. Let's pray. Why did you leave yourself again? See, that's not repentant. Just joking. Repent. To man up means I take full responsibility. Can we just talk to God? I don't know, as harsh as that may sound or comical, arise today. This is not the message of condemnation. It's to liberate some of us who have lost our identity. And listen, a child is always a child. Let me say this to you. If you have a child that's giving you any problems and they are now adults, they are still forever your child. Pray for them. Pray for them. The Bible says women, for example, they brought their dead back to life. You can pray for that child who is gone, who seems dead. Pray, cry out to God that gave you. They came from your loins. They came out of your womb. Don't curse them. You Because if you curse them, so be it. There are so many things the Holy Spirit is saying today and doing. This is a repentance, own up, and man up. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against God. I took this decision. I'm living the consequences. Have mercy. That's all. I don't blame anybody. Have mercy. I take full responsibility, is what it means to man up. I have done wrong. I'm not enjoying my marriage. I'm not this, I'm not that. Don't blame anybody that advised you to marry anybody. Own up and ask God for mercy, and He will be merciful. Father, this might be a hard message, Lord. I have said what you asked me to say, what I never said. Lord, may it not be heard. Lord, what I could not say, interpret further to your people. And I bind that voice of condemnation. I silence that voice of condemnation right now. You are not condemned. Every tongue that has risen against you in judgment up to now, over your life, your marriage, your home, your children, I silence that voice of condemnation today. I say in the name of Jesus, you are liberated. Your family is liberated. Your children are liberated. Your spouses, husbands, wives, liberated. This is the day the Lord has made. This is a new day of mercy. And thank you for goodness and mercy that comes after this. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for a release of double grace right now. Double grace, abundant grace upon everyone to go and do what you're asking them to do right now and undo what they need to undo. And Father, thank you for redemption. Thank you for that which is dead that comes back to life. I prophesy to somebody between now and next Sunday, that which was dead comes back to life. That which was given up, that which, listen, I'm hearing relationships will be restored. Dead relationships, dead relationships restored in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, that which was taken away from you, which was yours, that which you lost willingly, accidentally, deliberately, that which should not have left you, returns to you. By the power of this word you've heard today, in the name of Jesus, somebody's health returns, full health, restoration from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Father, this is all for your glory.